We believe the Lord to open our hearts here as we listen to the Word of God. If you'd like to look up the text for the message, the teaching this morning, it is in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and it is chapter 50 of Isaiah, verses 4 through 11. Have you ever been weary enough that you don't know if you can get through the day? Have you ever been that weary? There can be various reasons for that weariness. It can hit you out of the blue. Sometimes something's holding us back. What does hold you back? Maybe events or circumstances in your life drag you down. I read an illustration in a book called Majesty in Motion by Stuart Brown. And he said back in his hometown in Nova Scotia, he went down to where the fishermen came in, and he noticed that the crab baskets did not have lids on them. And he thought, well, that's weird. Why wouldn't they want to keep the crabs from getting away? But they never got away. And the reason is interesting. When one of the crabs started to crawl out of the basket, the others would just grab it and pull it back down. Because no matter what the outcome was going to be, they were in it together. Even though it meant being on the stovetop. It reminds me of the old story, and I tell this story with deep reverence for the beautiful friends I have from Newfoundland, where these two guys were sitting in the coffee shop after fishing. And one of them says to the other one, "Hey, boys, your lobsters are getting out of the bag there, out of the sack on the floor." And the other fellow says, "Oh, boys, they're not going to get away. These are Canadian lobsters." One of them gets to the top, the other one pulls them back down in. And so, did you understand that? So sometimes life feels like that. You know, you pray and you dream and you work and you get ahead a little bit, but circumstances or a word comes and just kind of thumps you back into the basket with the crabs. It reminds me of a story of a farmer. This is a true story. He had farmed, worked hard his whole life, and not much had come of it. He was poor, it hadn't gone well, and they said of him, you know, the only thing Dad ever grew on that farm was tired. And sometimes you can work and dream, try so hard, and you just end up kind of weariness. Steve Brown quotes Bill Glass, who worked in prisons, and Bill said that he often asked in his meetings with prisoners the question, "How many of you heard from your mother or father, someday you'll end up in jail?" Pardon me. He said, usually most of the hands went up. The power of words. Power of words. He says that almost every time they responded yes. We can be wearied by words. Israel as a nation was weary. Weary. Familiar with weariness. Much of their weariness was self-imposed. They weren't listening to the invitation of God. But God had a servant, he said, who was going to bring words of wisdom to the weary. And so we're going to read about this in Isaiah chapter 50, beginning at verse 4. Isaiah 50, beginning at verse 4, he says, "The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom, so that I know how to comfort the weary." It's a great how-to. "Morning by morning he awakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. I have offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will. And I know that I will not be put to shame. He who gives me justice is near. Who will dare to bring charges against me now? Where are my accusers? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? All my enemies will be destroyed like the old clothes that have been eaten by moths. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. But watch out, you who live in your own light, and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is the reward you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment. The word for the weary is a word for the weary. He says, the sovereign Lord, that's Adonai Elohim, repeated six times in Hebrew here, has given me words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. Although the word servant doesn't appear here until verse 10, this is another one of those servant songs in this part of Isaiah, where the servant brings this song of praise and acknowledgement. And in this servant song, like the others, we understand that in this immediate context, the servant of the Lord refers to the first hearers, to Israel, the people of Israel, who were God's servant sent to the nations to reveal what God's presence is really like. And so this servant of the Lord is to bring comforting words of wisdom to the weary. The word for the weary. And morning after morning, he says, the sovereign Lord awakens him with his new understanding. It's like a cumulative effect of the word of the Lord coming to him. So this servant is able to turn that around and comfort others. It builds. Words have power. Proverbs 11, verse 9 says, with their words, the godless destroy their friends, but knowledge will rescue the righteous. So this continued exposure to the words of the Lord builds the heart, changes, reshapes how we think. Ezra was a priest of God, and King Artaxerxes of Persia sent him back to Jerusalem to teach the people of God there the ways of the Lord. And it says that Ezra had the gracious hand of God on him. God's hand was on him. And it says this was because Ezra had determined to study and obey the law of the Lord and to teach those decrees and regulations to the people of Israel. So first, he let the word of God percolate in his own soul. Remember coffee perks? Yeah, just bubbling away, back through the grounds again. It's kind of like that with the word of God. You take it in, you keep taking it in, you let it percolate. Or steep, if you like. And as it steeps, it changes the flavor of your life, reshapes the way you think, so that he could then pour it out and teach other people. The weary could hear the word of the Lord. And our world is weary. Our world is weary of bad news. Weary of news about COVID. So often I just turn the radio off when the new announcement comes, or more often the commentary. The world is weary. Weary of a mix of good and bad decisions. Weary. Just weary of being human. But we know the servant of the Lord, who in turn makes us his servants, weary. The first mark of evidence that one is a disciple, a follower of God, a disciple of Christ, is that one's hearing is open to the word of the Lord. You see this, don't you, in someone who newly embraces Christ and receives the Holy Spirit, and suddenly they have this devouring, insatiable appetite for God's word. Have you let that get away from you if you've walked with the Lord for a while? It happens. Hearing, because the Holy Spirit has done this, and so we listen, open our ears. Our world is weary of political bad-mouthing. Is it not? Could we just not say something kind to someone we disagree with? It's still possible, and it happens occasionally, but if you hear it, you should write it down. The world is weary, and we don't have to look far in our knowledge of Scripture to know that this servant of the Lord is ultimately fulfilled in the fullest sense by the Lord Jesus. The world needs good news, and so I urge us as people of the Word to be people of good news. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light." We do not hear what we cannot hear. We do not hear what we will not hear. And so we need to hear the word of the Lord, and we need his Spirit to open our ears, our hearing. And we do that as we come to him and expose our hearts to him openly and admittedly in need. Adonai Elohim has given wisdom to comfort the weary. And listen, we live what we listen to. We live what we listen to. What words have authority in our lives? We live what we listen to. Steve Brown tells us of John Wesley, as you know, a very notable English evangelist, pastor, who preached widely in England and in America. And he was convinced that faith was essential to reaching the world for Christ, but he was troubled because he felt in his own experience he didn't have adequate faith in everyday life. So he went to his mentor and he said, "What do I do? How can I preach faith if I don't have enough faith?" And his mentor said, "Mr. Wesley, preach faith until you have faith. And then because you have faith, you will preach faith." In other words, writes Brown, learn to see yourself as a person of faith, articulate that reality in your life, and you'll become a person of faith. Practice it. Practice it. What words do you give authority in your experience? God's words of promise, or fears, or something else? We live what we listen to, and often we live what we speak. What story are you telling yourself today about you, about God, about your world? We live what we listen to. Yeah, I know there are weary days, aren't there? And sometimes we feel it acutely, and sometimes we might pray along these lines, which I think you've heard before. "I want to thank you, Lord, for being close to me so far this day. With your help, I haven't been impatient, lost my temper, been grumpy, judgmental, or envious of anyone. But I will be getting out of bed in a minute. And I think I'll really need your help then. So we turn to the sovereign Lord. He alone gives wise words of comfort for the weary. And the servant of the Lord not only speaks a word for the weary, he also walks the way of the weary. The way of the weary. He says, I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. That it hurt. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. When I was a child in a little rural school, public school, one day as I was being chased by a group of students, mostly older, it wasn't a big school, we were all together in those grades, chased, running for my life, I felt, frightened, being spit on from behind, and I unfortunately turned to see if I was gaining any distance just in time to catch a full mouthful. Yes, I still taste it. No, I can. I remember that. But here, I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone. The Lord was there. And so he lifts the sting of that, you see. And here is the servant of the Lord. He's not suffering for doing something wrong, but just because of obedience to the word of the Lord. In verse 7, he says, he'll not be disgraced because the Lord helps him. And he didn't retaliate. He just determined to do God's will, knowing that he would not be shamed. He says, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know that I will not be put to shame. To be disgraced here, as it's used here in Hebrew, meant to have a wounded spirit through public humiliation. He says, I won't be disgraced. And we hear these words coming from the lips of Jesus, don't we? As he heads into Jerusalem, getting ready to go to the cross. So this public shaming is not inner shame. It's an external, physical experience. In verses 8 and 9, the servant says this conviction that he has, that he's doing the right thing, is going to stand, even if they take him to court. He says, who will dare to bring charges against me now? Where are my accusers? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? The servant of the Lord enters into the way of the weary. It's not an easy road. We might dream that if we could just speak the words of the servant of the Lord, that everybody would say, amen. That's true. Christ is Lord. And the churches are filled because the gospel of Christ, the good news, is true. Yet there's a battle, a struggle going on, and so he enters into the way of the weary. And we don't have to think far to see Christ's fulfillment. Ultimately of this, the religious leaders of his day conspired with the Roman authorities, and they brought false charges of blasphemy and sedition against him and took him to trial after he had resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. And the Roman soldiers there stripped him and beat him and shoved a crown of thorns on his head. And it says, and they spit. Juvenile, isn't it? They spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his clothes on him again. And then led him away to be crucified. God's word in Hebrews chapter 2 says that Jesus was made the perfect leader through suffering. This was all part of becoming fit to be our Savior. For those he calls with no shame, brother and sister. You're the real deal to him. You are the real deal to him. He looks on you and says, brother and sister. So, yes, we experience weariness, but we are the empowered weary. We are the winning weary. We live in the fellowship of the Spirit of God. And this empowered way of the weary includes, first of all, no condemnation, as we've seen here in Isaiah. Who dares bring charges? Jesus said, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God, who sent me, have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. And the Apostle Paul chimes in and says, so now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. He says, then you're the real deal. There's no condemnation. No condemnation. When that voice of condemnation comes on top of your already weariness, I urge you to talk back. Lip off. Sometimes that voice may come from the devil, who is the accuser of the brothers and sisters in Christ. I urge you to talk back. Jesus did that, and what did he do? He read the word of the Lord back to the accuser, and he went away in time. Now, sometimes the voice is from your overcharged, supersensitive conscience that has a catalog of every misstep or mistake or sin, including all those that have been forgiven through Christ Jesus, and they have. And your conscience says, remember that? Stupid. Failed. I know people try to encourage you, but you know better. You're a loss. No, you need to talk back to that voice gently, saying, thanks for showing up, conscience. Glad you're there. I need you. But I'm okay because the Savior has forgiven me and I'm walking in his light. And so I am just going to follow him because he loves me. The Lord Jesus frees you from all condemnation. Yes, he does. You're the real deal and you live what you listen to. Quite a long time ago, I declined an opportunity to serve someone who asked me to do a particular function. And I don't know if I did it very well. You know, I've reevaluated that hundreds of times. And I got a response in writing that said, well, since you as a supposed man of God can't do this, we found a real man of God to do this for us. And that stung a bit. And again, I wondered so many times. But I coped by joking about it. I would say to Donna, 7:45 a.m., and the supposed man of God heads off to work. Or I would say, an evening, 8 p.m., and the supposed man of God goes to board meeting, or something like that, and over the years. And one day, though, I realized this is a bad narrative. It's kind of funny, but it's the wrong narrative. And I had to repent of that and say, no, by God's mercy, what are we? You are a son or daughter of the Most High God, called a saint because of the Spirit's presence and his renewing, regenerating power in your life. A servant of the Lord, Jesus said, a friend. Suppose nothing. Forget that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We live what we listen to, and sometimes what we speak. The way of the empowered weary includes no condemnation. You're the real deal. You are the real deal. Talk back to that voice. Tell it where to go. That's where it belongs. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Go red. Go red on that thing. The second way he shows us here of the empowered weary is purposeful suffering. The servant of the Lord didn't suffer for doing evil, but for being righteous and walking in the wisdom of the word of the Lord. Life is difficult. There is suffering sometimes, but isn't it good to suffer for being on the winning team? That's what this is about. Life is difficult, but How do we make a difference when we feel inner failure or outer pressure and we feel this is wasted? Life's being wasted. It says in Hebrews 12, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. We have a choice. We live what we listen to. When it's difficult, and it gets difficult, what do? We turn that difficulty into a channel of praise. We say, okay, life is difficult, but I'm not opposed to anything. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm walking with the Lord Jesus who says I'm friend. I am in him. Difficulty suddenly has meaning in Christ Jesus. It does. It suddenly has meaning. There's a goal to be like him. And then the way of the empowered weary includes help from the sovereign Lord. The sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? It says in verse 9. Who dares come against him if God is on your side? Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, that's comforter, encourager, counselor, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Again, the way of comfort in the Lord is the way of following the sovereign Lord and listening to his word, and his Spirit empowers as we obey his word. He empowers the weary. So the way of the winning weary, the empowered weary, includes no condemnation, purposeful suffering, help from the sovereign Lord. Yes, we become weary. We are human beings. But we also rely on the power of the Spirit because we're in the kingdom of God. So how do we walk when we're weary? How to keep walking when weary? Please notice the contrast between those who keep on and those who don't in verses 10 and 11. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. But watch out, you who live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is the reward you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment. God's changed people. We walk in temporary darkness in the world, but expect God's light to shine and vindicate their faith. To fear the Lord means to listen to him and obey. It doesn't mean to be scared of him. It is to listen to him and obey. Sometimes life gets dark in this world. Not even a spark. You know, he's in this word picture, there's not even a ray of light. I'm told that's what the Hebrew word means. Just utter darkness. No stars, nothing. So what do? We follow the example of the servant of the Lord, and we trust the Lord and rely on our God. The people of Israel were fleeing Egypt, and God gave them a tower of fire at night to guide them and protect them. When you're following him, there's no other light. You just take one step at a time in the direction that God has given you. That's all, because that's all you can see. You can't see much beyond that anyway, right? You can worry about it. You can worry about it a lot. What's out there? I don't know. I'm scared. But you know how to take one step, and that's your business, and the rest is God's. So you take that step, that walk, one step at a time. He gives us power to love one step at a time, power to believe one prayer at a time, power to lead one decision at a time. Trust in the Lord, rely on your God. We live what we listen to. What voice is playing in your head? What do you listen to? By contrast, those who are self-sufficient, who forget God, try to live in their own light. Machir says their do-it-yourself remedies are doomed. Because you can't overcome spiritual darkness or temptation or evil just with your own resources. It doesn't work. And the Lord rewards self-sufficiency by just letting people drift into their own torment. It's like he steps aside and says, okay, well, if you've chosen to just rely on the fire you can light, there you go. But it's going to get hot. Heading to torment. But we live by trust in the Lord. When we're weary from from life stress or bad news, we look to his word, we believe in his presence, and we take the step we can see. And the difference of his presence is stark in the dark. It says in 1 John, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We just walk in his light. We walk near him. We stay in his loving fellowship. We live what we listen to. We take up his word. We live what we listen to. The servant of the Lord walks the way of the weary. He took our burdens on the cross, and we take up his cross, and he offers no condemnation, but he offers purposeful suffering, meaning in your difficulties, and help from the sovereign Lord. And we keep walking when weary because the Lord helps us. The Lord helps us. We listen for his guidance. Consistently let his word shape and comfort us. I read a story told by Wayne Cordero of an Olympic marathon runner who, after the race, you know how they re-enter the stadium to do the last lap or so, and then they get to the finish line? He's so far ahead of the other runners. The crowd greets him with cheers, and he is delirious with exhaustion, stumbling, so tired. He's run his heart out. He has drained his resources. He stumbles. But he gets up, and he runs the wrong way. He's turned around, and his coach starts to leap over the rail to help him, and the judges say, no, if you touch him, he'll be disqualified. And so no one can go to this man. The crowd starts to shout directions, and it must have been mayhem. Back and forth, and finally he collapsed and fell down. And the crowd is chanting, get up, get up! And finally, he regains consciousness enough to get up, and he stumbles toward the finish line and collapses over the line, and the crowd goes wild. And when the medals are announced, the announcer says that this runner, whom the others had eventually passed, was disqualified because there were two finish lines. There was one for the sprinters, which he had crossed, but another for the marathon. We live what we listen to, and our inner confusion and the outer noise can get misleading. Yeah, it can. But you talk back to that outer voice, and you give reason from the Word of God to the outer noise, because the servant of the Lord speaks to us. He offers no condemnation. He offers meaning in difficulty, and help when we rely on him to take the step we can see. We live what we listen to. The worship team will come and help us in our response as we pray and close our service. Join me in prayer, will you? Thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the word of the Lord here. We pray that you would help us. You would bring conviction and comfort where we need it. Help us be responsive to you. We look to you to lead and guide us. In the name of Jesus.